Good morning, everybody. This is Parshas B'Shalach, and the first item on the sheet is from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, from the Sefer Emes Liyakov, and it is really a continuation of a discussion we had last week with regard to the question of Paro, Kabeid Lev Paro. Why, in fact, just as a review a little bit, because it'll segue into what Rabbi Yaakov is saying, what motivated Paro to be so stubborn and not to allow Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim? So, the Meshech Chochma, in his introduction to Sefer Shmos, speaks about Bechira. And if you recall last week, we went over this Meshech Chochma, that Bechira, he says, is everything. The ability to have free choice. But the high point of Bechira is to be above Bechira, to be beyond Bechira. And we gave the example of a Baal Tshuva who was grappling with Shmir Shabbos. So at the beginning, you know, on Fridays, am I going to keep Shabbos this week? Am I not going to keep Shabbos this week? And he decides to keep Shabbos. So after a while, it's second nature. Second nature, a person who shomer Shabbos doesn't ask himself on Friday whether he's going to keep Shabbos or not. There's no Bechira. He's beyond Bechira. He's lamala mina Bechira when it comes to doing mitzvahs. So the more that a person does and grows in his Torah, the less Bechira he has. The more he goes beyond Bechira. This concept can work in the reverse too. The more that a person does the wrong things, he is beyond Bechira, he is below Bechira. And that's the understanding of Paro, of Kabeid Lev Paro, that he was beyond Bechira in making the wrong choices. And that's essentially what Chazal say, Kabeid Lev Paro, that the way that a person should make determinations, if he's a Baal Bechira who uses Bechira, utilizes Bechira in the right direction, he starts with his intellect, and the intellect guides his moach guides his lev, his heart, his emotional structure. And that leads to the kaveh, the liver, which is the seat of passion, where he'll carry out the directive of his moach and his lev. So he'll go from moach to lev to kaveh, that's melech. He's a melech, he's a king, he's in charge of his persona. If a person works the other way around, if a person starts with his kaveh, the passion of his liver, and then goes to the lev, where emotions rule the day, that's very dangerous. When one makes decisions based on pure emotion and passion, then it's dangerous. So if he goes from his kaveh to his lev, to his moach, to his intellect, that spells kalem, kaf lamed mem. Kalem is destruction. Paro is kaveh lev paro. He represented that destruction. Kaveh is the liver, lev is the heart, and the arof, the neck, the nape of the neck, which leads from the body to the head, is also like moach. So kaveh lev paro. That was the essence of paro. He was beyond bechira in a negative sense. That a person can reach such a madrega that intellect doesn't play a role, his emotion rules the day. And so this is, again, a quick review from last week, but this is a segue into what Rabbi Yaakov speaks about Paro in this week's Parsha. Vayomru, mazos asinu ki shalachnu es b'nei Yisrael me'atzeinu. Paro and the Egyptians were remorseful about the fact that they allowed B'nai Yisrael to leave Mitzrayim. So Rabbi Yaakov asked the obvious question, l'chura tamu me'od, ki shachachu kfar es hamakos, ad shetemoim hein v'toyim mazos asinu. Could they have forgotten the destruction that was brought on Mitzrayim was completely devastated because of the Makas? So why would they want them back? Why would they be upset that Bnei Yisrael were leaving Mitzrayim? They should be satisfied that they're leaving. The whole country was in a total disarray. So Rabbi Yaakov says something very beautiful. Kam gilsalanu hatarah. Ad kama koach haratzon mitah es hasechel hayoshev. You see here how if emotion runs and controls a person, if the lust for power is in charge, the seat of passion is in charge, that it distorts reality. Ad she'efshe lishkoach ma she'ro be'inav lifnei shivas yomim, to the extent that you can forget what you saw 7 days ago. V'gam misas haben ha'bechor, every firstborn child was killed. V'chol churban ha'aretz, the total devastation of the land of Egypt. K'mo she'kasov, as the Torah says, ha'terem teda ki avda Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim was devastated. V'im yesh rak pesach katon v'tzar, if there's just a small window to allow for my personal agenda to sneak in, then it's all over. Yavo haratzon v'yitaas asecha. Then the ratzon, the emotion, the gear that I have, is going to take over the seichel, the common sense, the intellect. V'halo achar asora makas halo, after these 10 plagues, שכבר נוכח לדעת כי השם הוא בעל היכולת ומשגיח ושופט ואת הרואו כי בעל צפון נשאר מכל אלוהי מצרים. So this is the point. After all the makas, all the devastation, all the destruction, Paro said, one of my gods is alive. בעל צפון, one of the avodah zarahs of Paro was alive. So he credited that since his God, his so-called God, is still alive, that he's in power. V'toel, he made a mistake. Kihusha sagar aleim amipah. V'halo roahu es amun ha'anan. V'es amun ha'esh, he saw the miraculous way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu guided us out of Egypt. The pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire. Ki Hashem holech lifneim, God walking before. Kaviyochol, Hashem walking in front of Bnei Israel. V'afal pikein, that notwithstanding, lo yira v'lo yichas, he was not afraid. V'achar kach, kishiro shayam mitpaka, haylo lachzor lacharav. So when he saw the sea split, the miraculous kriyas yamsuf, he should have turned away, should have ran away. Ki halo rohu b'chush, kishiro b'derech ha'tevu, this was beyond nature. V'afal pikein, that notwithstanding, hu holech acharein b'yam, Tarat Hakir Anatu Isha Amayim Aomni Banez. He still went into the water, under the water that had miraculously split, and chased Bnei Israel into the sea. What do you see from this? Elishakan Gamken Nisharlo Petach. He had a little bit of a window. Kihalo, the Ramban points this out. Kihalo, Minashev Ruach Kadim. There was a strong east wind blowing. Ubevadai Haruach Hasakin. So he concluded, this is a natural phenomenon. The wind created the split in the sea. V'zehu rak miritzono lihishtabed b'shishi ribavon. And these conclusions, these false, spurious conclusions that he came to, were only because of his desire for power, his ratzon, his emotional desire to be in charge, which took over his intellect, took over his seichel. So this is just a little bit of an example of how if you're upside down, if you're kalem and not melech, that you'll distort reality. Reality becomes distorted, and your whole life is lived in distorted reality. Okay. Number two is from Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, and really I'm going to show you, I want to learn with you two approaches to the first pasuk of the Shira. This Shabbos, Parsh B'Shalach, is Shabbos Shira, where we lay in the Shira Hayam. So I have in number two one presentation of the first pasuk of the Shira presented by Rav Soloveitchik. This is my God, and I will unveihu, I will glorify him. Elokei avi v'romamenu, I will elevate him. I will make him lofty. Pirush Rashi, lo ani tchilat hakedusha, I'm not the beginning of sanctity. Ela muchzeket v'omedet li hakedusha ve'elokuto alai b'mei avotai. But this divinity, the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not, I didn't start it. It came from our avos, from avoseinu. And that's what Rashi's saying here. Ze keili v'anveyu elokei avi v'romamenu. That's Rashi. Kilomar, in other words, shelekol adam. Listen to what he says here. This is really in line with his whole approach to learning Torah, of creating two dinim, two two approaches to the situation. He sort of divides the aspect of the pasuk, the aspect of Adam miYisrael, into two. Shelekol Adam miYisrael shtei bechinot shel kedushat Yisrael. Every Jew has two bechinas of sanctity. Ha'achas mipas holado liYisraelit, that he was born to a Jewish woman. So he is a Jew. He has kedushas Yisrael in a physical sense, in a biological sense. V'habeis, secondly, mipad zeh shekibel alukuto yitborach al atzmo, the fact that he accepted, he was mekabel ol malchut shemayim, he accepted upon himself the spiritual ruach, the ruchnius, the spiritual journey of Klal Yisrael. So every Jew has this duality, this dialectic of being a Jew by birth, right? Zeh keli v'avehu, and a Jew by choice. Actually, Zeh keli v'avehu is a Jew by choice, but Zeh Elokei Avi, the God of my father, a Jew by birth. So, and he says, V'dumya deger, this is similar to a righteous convert, Shekibel kedushat Yisrael mipad kabalato al atzmo ol ha-mitzvot, that he becomes a Jew because he accepts upon himself the responsibility of mitzvot, so he is a Jew by choice. And also I might add that a ger tzedek also has the biology, in the sense that Chazal tell us that ger shemitgayer kekatan shenoladam, that a ger who converts is like a child, like a newborn child. So the ger also has both of these aspects of Jewishness, the Jew by birth and the Jew by choice. Umay the Kaivalim, the Sanhedrin, in our oral tradition, the Talmud says, the Yisrael, afal pi shechata Yisrael, a Jew, even though he sins, he could be the farthest removed from Jewish life and living, but he's still a Jew. He's still the Yisrael. Hainu, where does that stem from? Hainu benogei lahach bechina rishona shel kedushat Yisrael. This comes from the first level of Elokei Avi, that he is a biological Jew. He's a Jew by birth. Umay de kaimalan bechulin, and what we find, what the Chazal tell us in our oral tradition, de mumar dinur ke'akum, that a mumar, someone who completely throws away and discards Jewish tradition, is considered like a non-Jew. Hainu benogei lebechina hashnia shel kedushat Yisrael. That's in reference to the ani zed keli ve'anveyu, that he's taking away his personal, he's throwing away his spiritual dimension and kedushat Yisrael, and the sanctity of his Jewishness. Now, I should point out that technically today, the overwhelming majority of Jews who are not yet observant would not be in the category of a mumah. They would be in the category, as Chazon Ish mentions in Hilchos Shechita, that they're in the category of a tinok shenishba, of a child that ran away from the Jewish community. They don't know any better. But in any case, in technically speaking, these are the two terminologies, these are the two possible realities in the extreme, and this is their sources in this pasuk. Okay? So he says, Bevadai im moreh b'ashem, if the mumer rebels against God, v'lo mekablo beloka, and he doesn't accept God as his God anymore, he becomes a non-believer, tiyeh chasera etzlo b'china zu shel kedushat Yisrael, he is lacking this sanctity of being a Jew, v'rak tiyeh kayemet etzlo b'chinat harishona, v'zui gam, but he still has the other dimension. In other words, you cannot get rid of the fact that you are a Jew who was born a Jew. You can rid yourself of the Kedusha, of the sanctity portion of your dual personality of your Jewishness, your Jew by choice element. That I can discard, but I cannot discard the Jew by birth. That simply doesn't go away. V'rak tiyeh kayemet etzlo b'chabachina harishona. V'zehu gam ken kavanat nuschat ha'tfila b'tchilat b'yachat avot t'shmon esrei. And that's really the intent of the first bracha of t'shmon esrei. Elokeinu, Elokei Eloseinu. Say, you know, when we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we speak to him, he is our God and the God of our fathers. Kilomar, in other words, Shiyesh b'yadeinu shtei b'chinot shel kedushat Yisrael, that we have been gifted the two dimensions of the holiness of being a Jew. Mitzad kibalatenu ol elokuto al atzmenu. On one side of the coin is by virtue of our acceptance of his sanctity and his godliness on our lives. V'gam mitzad shenoladnu liyisraelim, and also because we were born to Jews. V'yarashnu kedushat Yisrael mehen, and we inherited our Jewishness from them. Mihine hadin, the law, de mumar dinu ka'akum, that a mumar, a non-believer, is like a non-Jew, who lo din universali, hanoheg b'chol ha-Torah kula. It's limited, aval hu mugbal, v'nirisha davar toli b'zeh, and this is the distinction. Eze hein ha-alachot ha-tluyot b'kdushat Yisrael shel atzmo, ve'eze ha-alachot ha-tluyot b'kdushat ha-muchzeket v'omedet lo lavotav. There are a whole series of halachas that will apply to one side of the coin, to the Jew who is a Jew by birth, that sanctity, and the other side of the coin, the Jew who is a Jew by choice, who accepts upon himself the sanctity, the spirituality of Klal Yisrael. So this is a very fine-tuned approach to the dialectic, the two-dimensional personality of the Jew, based upon this pasuk. But now, if you look at number four on the sheet, see a totally different approach to this pasuk. This is from Rav Nissen Alpert, who we have seen before. Ze keli ve'avehu, elokei avi v'rabbeinu. So he asks a question. Yesh ledat, we have to understand, lama etzel ze keli amru v'anvehu. Why is, this is my God v'anvehu, I will glorify him, or I will make him personal to me. We'll see how we get to that in a minute. Ve'etza elokei avi, the God of my father, amru v'arum amenhu, which is more of a distant thing, more of an elevated thing. So he writes here, and we'll talk about this in a minute. I just want to read this sentence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he begins to answer the question, like, why do we use the word elevation, loftiness, higher heights, so to speak, with the God of my father? And when it comes to this is my God, it's kind of a personal thing. And we'll explain how it's personal in a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nochach v'nistar be'et uva'ona'acha. God is at once close to us and distant from us. He is at once in the second person and in the third person. Nochach mitzad ma'asav, he's close to us in terms of his deeds. V'nistar, and hidden from us, mitzad atzmo. He's revealed and he's hidden in one and the same moment. Now, this idea is brought out in something that we do every day, 100 times a day, when we make a bracha. The Rashba explains in a tshuva, in a responsa, that there's an anomaly in the basic language of a bracha. We say, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu. Now, what's wrong with that sentence? What's unusual? Well, atah is Lashon Nochach. It's in the second person. We speak to God familiarly. We say, you. But then we say, Elokeinu, our God. We're speaking to God. We're not speaking about him. So this, by the way, this linguistic double you doesn't exist in English. There's only one you. When I speak to you and I refer to you, I use the word you, Y-O-U. But in Hebrew and in Yiddish, in French, in many languages, several languages, there's a distinction between when I speak to someone who I'm familiar with, I'll say you, but someone who is deserving of kavod, if I speak to a grandfather, I would not say you, I would say ear in Yiddish. Or if I'm speaking to a Rosh Hashiva, I would say, what does the Rosh Hashiva think? I wouldn't say, what do you think? So you speak in the third person as a mark, as a sign, as an indicator of kavod, of reverence for that person. So here, in this bracha, we speak to Ribbono Shel Olam in a bracha in both ways. We say, Baruch Atah, and then we say, Elokeinu. Because, the Rashba explains, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both Nister and Nigla at the same time. He is both hidden and revealed at the same time. He is hidden in his Atzmiyusa, in his essence. We don't know what he is, Kaviyochel, but he is Nigla, he is revealed in his Pu'ulotav, in his actions, in his manifestations, in how he runs the world. We see his qualities, his midos, midosav hakdoshim, that we see. But his essence, we don't see. God is both Ata and he's Elokeinu. So when we speak to him, not about him, remember we're speaking to him in a bracha. That's why we say Elokeinu. We speak to him both in an intimate fashion and in a more bekavadika fashion, in a more mechubad, honorable fashion. And that's what this pasuk is saying. Ze keli ve'anvehu. Anvehu is more personal. Anvehu could be ani vehu, me and you. Ze keli ve'anvehu. This is my God and I will embrace him. I will personalize, have a personal relationship with him. Elokei Avi, but he's also the God of my fathers. He's that God, v'aromemenu, who I stand back and I'm in aromemut. Aromemenu is to be in awe. Romemus is to be in awe of the Rabbanu Shlomo. So we have the Rambam when he discusses the mitzvah of fear of God, of Yirat Hashem, in two different places, he has two different descriptions. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, where he's listing the mitzvahs and giving a basic definition, he speaks of Yirah as being pachad, fear of punishment, fear of God, the creator of the universe. But in the Mishnah Torah, when he speaks about Yiras Hashem, he speaks about God in terms of the fear of God in terms of Yirat Haromamut. This word here, Yiras Haromamut, it's kind of awe. It's awesome. In a certain sense, I come to that, the first fear, even before I love him, I come to the mitzvah of Ava. But I come to the mitzvah of Yiras Haromamut, of that awe, after I have the sense of Ava for God, the love of God. Then I really appreciate what he is, and I have awe for him. So you have these two dimensions of fear, but Romus is a higher form. So why, asks the rabbi, is that in my God is the personal, intimate relationship, and the God of my fathers, he is the distant, the elevated, the more lofty. I have to reach for higher levels for the God of my father. So he says an interesting thing. He says both relationships should be at play. And he gives an interesting example. He says, She'imanu oskim bekir v'chokim. If a person wants to influence another Jew, she'enam yodi'im u'machirim klum b'darkei Hashem. They know nothing about the ways of God, u'midivrei Torosenu HaKadosh. They know nothing about Torah and Mitzvah. אז יש לספר בנויו ותשבחו תמו ורו כי טוב השם. You have to say, come and see how beautiful this Torah is. Come and see. Hashem הוא הטוב והמיטיב. God is good, he bestows good. שומע על תפילותינו, he listens to our prayers. והוא מלך עוזר ומושיע ומגן. הוא גואלנו, הוא יגאלנו כמו שעשה במצרים על קריאת ים סוף. He saves us like he saved the Jews from the splitting of the sea. Aval, that's when you're dealing with, you know, show him that God is a personal God. Zekeli ve'anvehu. He's personal, he cares about you, he wants to give you something. Aval, beinenu, levein atzmenu. But for our own personal development, someone who's on a higher level than the person who's not yet touched by Torah, someone who is striving and working to improve the quality of his Torah learning, to improve the quality of his Shmirat HaMitzvot. Yesh. La'asim leiv, lemar rachok Hashem, midiyateinu, mi'asagateinu. Then we should pay attention to the fact, Hashem's romamut, that God is distant from us, for Elokei Avi, for me, myself, now when I'm not dealing with others who are not at that stage yet, but me who is a simple Jew trying to live according to Torah mitzvahs, I should try to reach that higher level of romamut, right? V'itmale b'yiru v'pachad, Ech bria kitana shvela ta'iz l'shabech et Hashem. I should ask myself, child, how can someone as lowly as me have the audacity to speak to God? Who am I to speak to the Rabbanu Shlomo? U'kemo she'mesaprim odot tzadik echad, he tells a short maisa about a great Rebbe, she'hitchil lomar b'hashkem b'boker, mode ani. He started to say mode ani. He came to shul and started to say mode ani. Thank you, God. I thank you, God. I'm indebted to you. I submit to you. Ula'achar shah, after an hour, kesheshavu ha'anashim mibet ha'kneset, matzeru shatayin omeid b'bodani. At the end of davening, this tzaddik is still standing in the words modani. He couldn't go further in davening. Shetamal atzma. He wondered about himself. Mi ani? Sha'iz lahodot et Hashem. Who am I that has the chutzpah to praise God? I can't, you know. So this is the idea. We have to challenge ourselves. Elokei avi. My God, I have to challenge myself with romamos, with elevating myself, with trying to climb the ladder in spirituality to see how great a Kodesh Baruch Hu is. Dealing with people who are not yet there, we have to challenge them by opening doors for them of Zekeli Ve'anveyo Anivahu. God is there, he's not distant, he's close. The two dimensions of God, being Nister and Niglut, being distant and being close, being revealed and being hidden at one and the same time, we relate to the Rabbanu Shalom. Okay, this next piece is from Rav Schwab, and he quotes a pasuk. Vayisa Moshe Yisrael miYamsuf. Moshe leads the people out of the Red Sea. Vayatzu el Midbar Shur to Midbar Shur. Vayelchu Shloshet Yomim b'Midbar. They went 3 days in the desert. V'lo Matzu Umayim. They couldn't find water. V'Yavo Maras. They came to Mara. V'lo Yachlu Lishos Mayim. They couldn't drink water. V'alino ha'ama Moshe lemor man minishta. And immediately the people started to complain. So he quotes here from our oral tradition, a passage in the Talmud from Baba Basra. Tanya, vayelchu shloshes yomim b'midbar v'lo matzu mayim. The Jewish people went 3 days in the desert and didn't find water. Dorshe reshumos amru, the rabbis teach, ein mayim ela Torah. Water is always a metaphor for Torah. Water is life-giving. Kivan shehalchu shloshes yomim below Torah, nilu. If a Jew goes 3 days without Torah, he will wither away. So, amdu neviim shebeinehem v'tiknu lehem shayu. Because of this, the prophets, an institution of the neviim, divrei neviim, that they instituted shayu korim b'shabbos v'korim b'sheni v'korim b'chamishi kedei shelo yalinu gimel yom below Torah. The prophets instituted that Torah should be read 3 times a week, every 3 days. 3 days should not go by from Shabbos to Monday to Thursday to Shabbos without Torah, based on this Gemara, on this passage in the Chumash. So now he asks the obvious question, Rabbi Shmuel. V'hine ba'ashkafa rishona, at first blush, harei drashezu rechoka hi me'od mipshuto shel mikra. This idea of 3 days without Torah, 3 days without water, it's far from the pshat, the textual understanding of the pasuk. V'im dorshu ken chazal, but if the rabbis made this drasha, they made this homily. Mistame matzu remez le'inin zeh gam b'pshuto shel mikra. They obviously found a hint in the basic, simple text of the words in the Chumash as well. So what is the nexus between the text and the drashas chazal? V'yitakein levayeh, let me suggest, shahare ze achshav nasu b'nei Yisrael mayim miyamsuf. The Jews traveled now from Yamsuf. Shesham nasu lehem nisim gedolim v'niflaim. And they witnessed unbelievable miracles. Uru'u sham giluyim gavoim ma'od sha'afilu Yecheskel ben Buzi lo zacha lehem. They saw miracles that even prophets like Yecheskel, like the rabbis say, that Masharah saw Shifcha layam lora Yecheskel ben Buzi. What a maidservant saw at the sea, the splitting of the sea, even the prophet Yecheskel did not see. And Yecheskel saw great visions. He saw the chariot. V'anu v'amru, and what did the Jewish people say in response? Zek keli v'aveyu. This is my God, and I will glorify him. Hashem yimloch le'olam v'ed. God should live forever and ever. He should reign as king over us. V'afal pikein, that being said, kishalchu shloshes yomim, 3 days later, v'lo matzu mayim, there was no water. Lo pish b'shuv ma'aseihem. They didn't turn inwardly and say, why, maybe we're not deserving of water. Maybe we did something wrong. Litlot ba'atzman, to pin it on themselves, at achisaron, the lack of water. V'gam lo bikshu b'hachnami Moshe Rabbeinu shipalel lehem. And they didn't ask with humility that Moshe should daven for them. Ella, what? Bo betluna. They came with a taina. They came with a complaint. V'alinu ha'am. The Jewish people complain all the time. This is your source in Chumash. V'alinu ha'am o Moshe lemor ma'am ishteh. What are we going to drink? So what do you see from this? V'roi manu mizeh, says the rabbi, sha'af haroshet hayoter nifla sheba'ol, even the greatest, most miraculous, most unbelievable, inexplicable phenomenon, miraculous phenomenon in the world, the splitting of the Red Sea, 600,000 people walking through, and Paro's army marching through and being drowned, and the Jews being saved. Ein bekocho lifol yoter migimul yamim. It could only last 3 days. That's what you see from this. V'chol haroshem hagadol v'hachazak shel kriyat yamsuf kvar tash kocho pag tamo achrei shloshet yamim. The whole wonder of wonders of kriyat yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, lasted 3 days. End of story. Now they want water. V'yesh lomar, and once, so now he wants to tie it in, that this is really the nexus, the tie-in to this halacha about the institution of reading the Torah every 3 days. V'yesh lomar shalom demizeh, you see from this chazal, the rabbi shengam haroshen shal kriyat haTorah b'tzibur nasa chalash achrei gimul yamim. Even the idea of having a relationship with the study of Torah and the reading of Torah after 3 days is weakened. So yivulachein, therefore tiknu hanaviyim, therefore the prophets of that generation, shalo yalinu gimul yamim b'li kriyat haTorah. This is reminiscent. I'm going to end with this. There is another piece here, but we're running out of time. This is reminiscent of something that I once heard from my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Ruderman Zatzal, and he said, he asked a question. We have a capital tilm that we say every year from Rosh Chodesh El until the Shmini Atzeret. The David Hashem Ori. We say the David Ori, that capital at the end of Davening. Right? And in that capital, or perhaps the central motif of that pasuk is Acha Sha'alti Me'ez Hashem, one thing do I ask of Hashem, V'osa Avakesh, and that do I request, Lachazot B'noam Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai, to dwell in the house of Hashem all my life, to be in the Beis HaMedrash, to study Torah, to be in the midst of Jews and Torah and the Jewish community, and involved in Torah and mitzvahs in the fullness of a life of Torah living and learning. But he asked the question. Say, achat sho'alti, lachzos b'noam Hashem, kol yimei chayai. One thing do I ask, to dwell in Hashem's house. Why is there a repetition? Achat sho'alti, one thing I ask, v'otah avakesh, and that I request. Why the repetition? The Rosh Hashiva said very majestically, this point. When you finish a good Yom Kippur, you feel that this is going to be a different year. It's going to be a better year. You're going to soar in your learning Torah and in the quality of your mitzvah observance and your davening, and et cetera, et cetera. But as the days pass and lead into weeks and the weeks lead into months, the nature of the beast is we unfortunately very often don't make it. We just revert back to pre-Yom Kippur. So that's the prayer of David HaMelech. Achat sho'alti, I'm asking that this feeling that I have now, this feeling of attachment to you, of zeh keli v'anveyu, my anivahu, my intimate relationship with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may it stay with me. Now, I want it now, achat sho'alti, v'osa avakesh. But even later, even longer and later down the pike, that it should stick with me, I should have the fortitude and the ability and the courage to keep it strong later on down the road as it is today. That's the idea, that's the notion here of this idea that Rav Schwartz suggested in this Gemara. Okay, thank you very much. I'll see you all next week.